So now we welcome Conor Lynch, CEO of Connector. Conor, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
We first met back in 08, and I don't know if you remember, but I managed to blag my way into an event called Digital Tonic, which was run by John Dunn, who was MD of Radical at the time. Mm. And he used to run that event, and we met first there. But that was 08, and I remember you were in the industry a few years at that stage. You'd been embedded in digital media and social, I suppose, before social really existed.
Yes.
From a very, very early stage. Can we talk about that and how you, so you set up Connector, et cetera, and we'll go on to the Snappies and all the awards you've set up, et cetera. But let's talk about your heritage and how you got into the industry.
Yeah, no, those days were great for networking events. You had Digital Tonic, there was Connector, I'm sure there's a couple more as well. And I used to, being a Connector, anxious to go along to see, you know, what was happening. I was running events. I was kind of interested to see what John was doing. And we ran about 25 events around those years, 2008, 9, 10. But I had a job at the time. I was actually working in the industry. I was working for perhaps 8020 or Cybercom. I had been in Rabo Direct as online marketing manager even before that. So my career in digital started in 1997. So it's next year's 20-year anniversary. So I actually worked in a small technology company in Cavan after I graduated from marketing from DIT in Smurfit College. I got a job in IT, an IT company helping their marketing. But I knew nothing about technology. I knew nothing about IT, but I kept hearing about IT and technology. And I thought, well, let's kind of go for it anyway and, you know, see, can I get in here? So because I'd grown up in Cavan, I had an inside track on it. So I got the job and they were starting to play around with the internet. And so my first internet marketing job was all the way back where they were developing almost like a precursor to myhome.ie in Daft. It was a property website like nearly 20 years ago. But that was fine, and that led to other jobs. So that was Web 1.0. I went to Australia for a few years, came back, and then I was working at Rabo Direct around 2006, which was Web 2.0. So this was an amazing eye-opener for me, where I saw a lot of international sites and new technologies and trends coming through, which is now known as social media. And social media really caught my attention because now websites were no longer static and brochures. They were very, very, very interactive. There was so much potential. And I was hooked immediately. So I left Rabo Direct because they weren't going to implement my social media strategy, and went to Cybercom, where I could work with Coca-Cola and Diageo and all their brands. And they were really keen to get involved. So I was working with Coca-Cola on Bebo, the first campaign in the world.
Yeah, I remember Bebo. Yeah. R.I.P.
On Bebo. There was also different campaigns for MySpace, on MySpace with Guinness. So all the way along, I was kind of looking, what's new? What can I explore? And what can I try and understand? And what can I bring back to my clients to try and say, you got to check this out because this is where people are heading and you got to go there first. So I was always trying to get in there first. And that led to lots of awards along the way because with the various companies and brands I worked with. And then a couple of years ago, I managed to stumble on another award prize where I was on the hardware hackathon team in DCU. It's a couple of years ago. And I went along and joined a team, but I recognized one of the guys, and he was a friend of a brother of a friend, and he was brilliant at software and didn't realize how good he was at hardware. So that was my induction to hardware and hardware hackathon, and that's Web 3.0. And so now that's kind of, we're starting to bring more and more of that into our business. So even now, looking back, we've got three layers in our business. You've got Web 1.0, we do websites, we do a lot of social media, which is Web 2.0, and then Web 3.0, we're now introducing Internet of Things into our business and evolving what we do because, you know, markets, it's very challenging for businesses out there, but it's also challenging for the agencies and suppliers because if they don't evolve and adapt, you know, they're toast as well.
Mm. Yeah, so it's amazing the evolution and the speed of the evolution as well. And I still find it amazing, Conor, and you see it, I'm sure, firsthand, is so many brands are only getting to grips with Facebook, and now it's kind of gone, Facebook? That thing is 10 years old. We're all on Snapchat. Catch up there, chief. And people are like they struggle and they're just getting there, and then the landscape changes again and a new player's in, and that's, oh, that old player's gone, nobody's using it anymore, the engagement rates have dropped off.
Yes, absolutely.
Everybody's here, you know, and yeah. It just, I suppose it's great for people like you who have a finger on the pulse of where it's going, you know, and, you know, it's not, it, you know, I wrote a blog post and you remind me of this a few weeks back about Cassandra, and Cassandra is the Greek, one of the Greek princesses who, her curse was knowing what the future was bringing, but nobody understanding what she was saying. Yeah. And they're like, this person's talking gibberish. And, you know, that must have been very frustrating, because we talked to Barry Flanagan a few weeks back about this, that the frustration of going, look, the internet's coming, it's going to totally disrupt your whole business. What, and you need to move. And they're kind of going, no, I'm quite happy actually managing the business as it is today. And you're going, but it's going to totally change. How do you deal with that?
I suppose people get excited by my enthusiasm, I suppose, and also the track record. So I suppose I like to, you know, try and make my predictions, try and eloquently, you know, convince them why it's going to happen in this particular way, based on examples from overseas, just looking at what's happening in states, looking at trends, also doing small trials. So listen, let's do a small trial, let's test something out, and then when that's successful, will you do more? So it's really being very vested in the project, that I'm risking my reputation, which is hard won, to try new things. And I think that's the people kind of go along with that. But you certainly, you know, you're not going to win every battle. There's a lot of clients that don't want to try new things, and we don't want to work with them.
Yeah, and it's interesting what you say about those small little tests, because I suppose when you're looking at prototypes or design thinking and all those things, that's what you're doing. You're going, let's put in something, a small investment out there, see how the audience engages with it or doesn't. And, you know, if they don't, then we didn't lose much. We put a small investment behind it instead of going and building a whole ecosystem around what we thought they wanted.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Brands, I don't know if you find it brands, but certainly companies find that difficult to deal with, going, but it didn't work. And you're going, yeah, but it didn't work. But you didn't put hundreds of thousands behind it. You put maybe 10,000 behind it, or 1,000 even. And you got a paper and a prototype or something out there.
Sure.
We made it fail, or we broke it to prove that it would be broken, or it didn't.
Yeah. Well, I suppose would have read the Lean Startup at the time, and you try different, there's lots of different books that would, you know, give me new ideas. But another thing that I'd look at it is there's a great PR opportunity in being the first to do something. So we were the first to do Twitter campaigns with Toyota years ago. It was very successful, big half page in the Sunday Business Post. Then there was other lots and lots of firsts. It's always, you know, so you do get value from doing it first, being the first in your sector, the first to try different things. And what's the worst thing to happen is it might not work as you thought, but if you can do small tests. And a lot of the tests that we would try, it could maybe we only invest in a landing page, or a small PDF that people can download and test our idea or test our concept and see what they think. And again, that's where, you know, we launched a bunch of things last year, and not all of them succeeded. But sometimes an idea could be just too far ahead of its time.
That's a big thing, you know? Yeah.
So there's one site that we'd almost completely forgotten about that we launched about 2 years ago on foot of the hardware hackathon. And we just left it there. And then we got a very, very big piece of business from it a couple of months ago, because somebody else had found it, a big business had found it, and they were looking to the future, looking for the future of food. And they came upon futurology.ie, which I'd forgotten about, and they came through, and we followed up with them. And said, well, actually, we're a connector, and we kind of show them what we're doing. And we landed a very big piece of business on a failed experiment that was gathering dust on the internet.
Yeah.
But actually, sometimes an idea can be just, you know, too, you know,
absolutely.
The timing is wrong, but sometimes it'll never be right. So you got to kill it.
Yeah.
Or just kind of just maybe do some more tests.
Yeah, and going back to that Cassandra concept, that's often the thing. You know, the timing can be wrong. You can be too soon. And I mean, that's in everything. I mean, a startup, look at Friendster versus Facebook, and it's just timing, perhaps the right investors, all those kind of things. And Barry Flanagan, again, talked about that, was he felt he was 2 years ahead of the time, and he had actually gone and done a business plan for IOL, another business plan for a digital music business, which, you know, like iTunes, yeah, for example. And he'd kind of backed a few different horses with the idea of, will IOL fail? And it, you know, that whole thing about being a little bit too soon, but doing it is the magic. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you've always got your hands dirty, and you see so many marketing managers outsourcing the learning all the time. And mm-hmm, and the difference between actually, you know, you don't have to all do it all yourself, but you definitely have to understand it, to understand the value and the drop-off rates of engagement, for example. But that means getting your hands dirty. And that I always feel that's a failed opportunity to learn for a lot of brands.
Yeah, no, I think you're dead right. And the clients that we enjoy working with most are very much interested in hearing our new ideas. Here's something you got to try. And then very, very interested in looking at the reports and analysing the data and, you know, moving forward with us. And generally when we back, you know, we back an idea, the results are good. And then also allowing us, if there's, you know, if things don't work out, you know, occasionally, that they, you know, again, they join in the fact that we did it, and, you know, there are learnings, and perhaps it was timing, or perhaps it was the creative, or perhaps it was the message, or... So then you just, you can
get a tweak.
You can tweak, and then you go again. And we would generally, with the lean, the whole lean model, it's testing small ideas that aren't very expensive to, you know, to get set up. And that's, the world is an amazing place now for innovation, trying ideas. And with social media, you can just pop it out on a tweet, and it goes out to your community, and they test it and they come back in. And so it's an amazing place for innovation.
Yeah, and it's funny you say about that, the kind of testing, and about the ability to go, okay, well, this is working, let's put more investment behind it. Because I often think of Facebook that way, where, you know, you put out a thing, a post organically, and then you notice it's taken off. And that's the time to put money behind it.
Exactly,
and go, actually, now I'm going to boost it because I know the audience like it. Now I'm going to boost and get it to more people because it's resonated. And you see the difference between push and pull a lot, where they're pushing a message straight by boosting it, and nobody's engaging with it. But on the other hand, if you put it out for free and you've written a good headline, the content's good and worthy of sharing and engaging with, that's the time to boost it. Do you find that kind of
thing? Absolutely, yeah. Well, Facebook will prompt you anyway, and that's something that's very clever with their algorithms, where it's pointing out this is performing better than other ones organically, and they would recommend that you put a few quid on it. So they're definitely on the money on that one, and making lots of money as a result.
Yeah, and again, going back to that same kind of mindset, it's, you know, I see a lot of brands and they put a website live, and I'm doing the inverted commas sign here, putting it live and then leave it there and do nothing. When you're going, well, it's actually live. That means you need to tweak it. You need to, you know, use heat mapping or some type of analysis to go, analytics to go, what's working, what's not. Let's move that button over there. Did it work better? Did it not? Because you may as well. I mean, you've invested a hefty chunk of money into getting it to that stage. The rest is just modification and iteration, etc.
Yeah, it's we'd have the idea. It's, you know, it's permanent beta. You know, things are constantly changing. Your website, you know, has to evolve. It's some of the tools, like you mentioned, heat mapping. We'd use Clicktail quite a lot. So just looking at the user behavior. When I was in Rabo Direct, we had hired, I think it was front end an agency. We hired them, and we had a studio full of, you know, guest consumers to come in and have a look and test stuff. So this would cost a fortune before we launched the bank website. Whereas now, for, you know, for free trial, you can install Clicktail on your website and you get that kind of user data. So there's so many challenges now because there's so many tools. But, you know, once you know the right ones, you know, you can do so much more now than you would have done at the start of my career.
Yeah, and, you know, I used Ghostery. I don't know if you've ever, you can track what's being tracked by when you visit a site. And there's so many, you see so many tools being used, and you kind of go, and so you might see Clicktail plus Hotjar plus another Crazy Egg or something, all heat tracking software. And you kind of go, they don't need all three. That's somebody who's gone and signed up for three free trials and then not taken the code out.
Yeah.
And then the site's slower as a result. You see that so much as well. And people just kind of going, oh, I need, it's like tracking FOMO, the fear of missing out on a tool that's out there. So where is Connector now?
On our journey, we were a social media agency, socialmedia.ie. So we still do have that, and we still run training classes. And I don't deliver those so much anymore because I suppose I can't really face telling people anymore what Facebook is, you know, at this stage. So we have,
but you still have to, right?
Our team will gladly work with people who want to know what Facebook is or who wants to, you know, really go in at the base level. I would maybe help more, strategic or, you know, advanced sessions. So socialmedia.ie was our main thing for a couple of years. And then also Connector. So Connector has evolved from events to a social blog to, you know, to social media. And now it's, and then the digital agency, and now it's an open innovation studio. So what does that do? I hear you ask. So we're big into innovation. Open innovation is really where companies have, you know, they take ideas from within and from outside. They're, you know, with social media, ideas can float around from consumers. You've got crowdsourcing, you've got open source, you've got open data. There's, you know, it's a completely different world out there. And also we're evolving ourselves because of all the experience we've had, that, you know, we don't want to just do social media. We don't want to just do digital, do a website. We want to transform a business. We really want to kind of help them innovate and come up with new products. And we focus, we've got a real fast-moving startup environment in Temple Bar, where we design digital products. And the best example of that would be the Snappies, which we'll talk about in a minute. So we create products that maybe our clients want, or maybe our clients don't even know that they want, but we can spot a gap in the market, create a product, and then we also create real-world experiences. So because of the Connector heritage of bringing people together, that we've, you know, we still bring this, you know, the online and the offline together really well. We work with influencers, and we build, you know, we build up communities for influencers and for brands. And it's all done in a culture of learning, so that we share our learning along the way, running meetups, running workshops, and creating infographics, and, you know, giving, you know, these work really well for us, and kind of making, helping people become aware of who we are and what we do. And some of those things have been our best business drivers. And there's a new idea we're working on now, which is about to go to print, and it's an innovation game. So we've got a deck of cards, and we've created a whole new game that anyone who's interested in a deck of cards for the innovation game can, you know, I'll maybe give my details at the end.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But this is to really help people connect the dots between, you know, that chair over there and open data and maybe a payment gateway, and how can they, you know, use Internet of Things to, you know, come up with new ideas and new products and new revenue streams to innovate within their company, whether they're making chocolate or whether they're, you know, like I know you had Heineken on recently. So whether it's, you know, beer, the smart beer glass or whatever, it's really opening people's minds to get the vocabulary and the concepts. And will you have beer delivered by drones, or, you know, what, and new revenue models? This is something we're exciting about. And we're going to post these out for free to selected clients. And this is kind of the way we do, you know, do our business development. Yeah. We put a lot of thought into it, and we give something of value that we hope will have people coming back to us. And some of our biggest clients, like Microsoft, have come through from little gifts like that that cost a couple of euros.
And yeah, so you're getting into products now. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I think it's we've done our research, and we kind of knew in our heart of hearts that the agency model is under a lot of pressure. A lot of people
write the
agency model. I think it's as in the I suppose more and more brands are bringing creativity, and they're having their own in-house agency team, or they're like the Journal, for example, some of the, and Joe.ie and different websites will start offering creative services and content creating services. So you're getting kind of your
publisher is taking some
market share. The client is taking back more work, maybe hiring somebody in house. And you can find that your lunch has been cut from many different areas. So we kind of were looking at this, and we knew that things were changing. We always instinctively know where we're going, but we don't know if it's the right direction.
Yeah.
But we've engaged with some international consultants who kind of looked at what we're doing and said, yeah, you're bang on the money. You're going the right direction. You just don't actually realize it yet. So we looked at the global marketplace, and now we've repositioned, and we're an open innovation studio where we are launching products. We're very interested in companies who want to innovate. And and to seize these opportunities, because it's never been as exciting to be in business and to be trying new things.
And that mindset you have of, and even, you know, authentically and openly going, you know, we know instinctively where we're going. We know the compass is pointing that way. We don't definitely know how to get there, but we're going there. That is often seen as the wrong way to do things by traditional business. But that is when nobody knows. It's the only way to do things. And, you know, I talk on the show about, you know, you have to back almost three or four versions of the future to go, I know these all won't pan out. And it's kind of what your mindset with your campaigns, that I'll back them. They're not all going to pan out. And as long as you have that relationship and the trust with the client to go, you know, someday this isn't going to work. And as long as you remember the successes, we're all good, you know, and that mindset has to happen. And particularly the more older and the more fossilized and traditional the company, the more they need to actually adopt that mindset.
You're dead right. And I suppose with the cost of working with agencies and the worst cost of new products, that they, the cost of not innovating is, I suppose, why we're attracting more people who want to work with us. And but you can't stand still, and that's where I suppose I've never wanted to stand still. So instinctively you've got to be constantly learning. So it's constantly reading on what's happening, looking at, you know, reading some good books, listening to some good podcasts, like, and just seeing feeling in your gut where things are moving. But thankfully the funny thing about it was we found out afterwards, and this is something that Steve Jobs says, you can only connect the dots afterwards, after the fact. You can't actually connect them moving forward, which I thought was very, very interesting.
I love that. Yeah.
Which is a brilliant point. And it's only when somebody started analyzing our business that they kind of were able to put shape on it and help us describe our own business, because we were so close to it. We were really struggling for about a year there. Just how do we describe where we are? Because we just don't feel like we're just a digital agency, or, you know. So we've come through a huge kind of a period of self-analysis, because you know, we have to evolve and innovate ourselves, because otherwise we're preaching innovation and we're in a dying market. You know, that's not going to, you know, stack up either.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say about, like, I mean, I suppose fragmentation of the pie is happening in everything. I mean, everything's getting disrupted. You look at, you know, Halo, Uber, the fight for that, and you kind of go, where's that going, for example? And what happens when there's no drivers? Does Ford and Mazda and Nissan, you mentioned one of your clients, like, they all go, actually, you know what, we're going to become the Uber. And all of a sudden, Uber and Halo are being disrupted, and it becomes the fleet of cars that becomes the transport system. And nobody buys cars anymore, because this transport system is so unique, and you pay on a basis of how luxury the car that you have is. And like the disruption that is happening and is coming, and so many companies just are, you know, putting their head in the sand and going, no, it's grand. We're all good inside these walls. And something you said there resonated with me. It was, you're so often busy working in the company that you have no time to work on the company. And especially when you're a boutique style company. But that's actually sometimes better, because you're more agile. You can actually move quicker, and you can go, actually, you know, we were working here and we were chopping down this jungle. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong jungle. Let's work on this one over here, you know?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So another one of these hunches I had last year was, I think this food area is really good. We ended up getting a few food clients kind of almost by accident. And I thought, let's kind of put up a website just for food and digital. So Digital Foodie was born, and we put that up, and we've ended up getting a bunch of new clients with that as well. And, I kind of was just between that and the Snappies and socialmedia.ie and futurology.ie, the team wanted to shoot me. Yeah. There's so many different ideas, and then we've got so many different brands, and how does it all fit together? And then my LinkedIn profile was starting to look a little bit crazy. So we had to kind of go back and kind of try and bring it all together. And so it's the connector, you know, the connector ecosystem of our brand.
360, isn't it? 360
which we kill that as well.
We
kill the 360.
Yeah, but it is a 360 mindset.
It is, yes.
So events, experiences.
And
engagement.
And absolutely. But really now looking at products and Some of the ideas that we've worked with in the Irish market, now the Snappies, we've actually packaged it up, and we've got two more countries lined up to run the Snappies in the next 6 months. So one being the UK and the other being in North America.
Fantastic.
So again, not to want to sit still and sit on a good idea. Let's look at who else would like this idea. Who else might, you know, be like to run, you know, the Instagram awards in their country. So we'll have this platform ready to rock. And all they just got to do is port it into their website.
Yeah,
and that's something that we've worked on as well to the licensing. So it's going to just how can we license this into other countries?
That's fantastic. So, and how can people get in touch with you, Connor?
People can get in touch with me through my email, connor@connector.ie. And if anyone wants to get in touch with us via Twitter, it's @connector.
And the many spider webs that you've left throughout the internet websites. It's a fantastic idea. I actually never thought of it. Like, I mean, a very highly optimized SEO optimized site as a spider web to kind of find clients. You know, it's a great idea. And it's an amazing story. Your evolution and your constant desire to reinvent is admirable, and we wish
a bit like Madonna in that way.
Different producer every time, but it happens to be you. But we wish you the very best. And when is the Snappies?
Snappies are in the Mansion House on the 17th of November. So it's going to be bigger and better than last year. But the awards and competitions are open, so people can get involved on huaweisnappies.com. So it's Huawei Snappies with one P, snappies.com. And that's where they can learn about it. And if brands or anyone else wants to get involved, they can get in touch with me as well.
And what's the mechanic for the Snappies, just for those who aren't familiar with
it? If you're simply on Instagram, you just got to put in the Huawei Snappies hashtag and then the category hashtag on Instagram. And that sucks it into our database, onto our gallery, where people can then go and vote and share their vote and share their photos. And there's 5,000 photos entered so far with about 10,000 votes, and it's just live a few weeks.
And it's just a photo, like there's no genre or anything like that, categories?
There's 20 categories. There's okay. 10 live at the moment. And like you got food, fashion, there's a GA with Guinness, there's selfie with HP.
Brilliant, okay.
There's community with Microsoft. You know, so there's a number of different categories with a good partner who puts up a nice prize, and it's really helping the amateur photographer who, you know, there's so many of them now that are amazing. So we're really a platform for them to advance their career, win nice prizes, and then to get to meet each other.
Yeah,
and that's where the Snappies Academy was set up, and they all get to meet each other, and there's, you know, lots of talented people that we're helping move forward their career.
Yeah, and there's still opportunities for sponsorship?
Yes, there is, yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So
they get in touch on the huaweisnappies.com.
Yeah, or connor@connector.ie.
Brilliant. Okay, well, Connor, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Aidan. It's my pleasure.